Growing up in a family of five with a house and yard to take care of required considerable effort from my mom and dad, along with the three children. To help ease the housekeeping burden, Saturday was declared Chores Day, and my two sisters and myself were assigned ongoing responsibilities of vacuuming, dusting, sweeping the garage, mowing the lawn, weeding gardens, or whatever was required at that time. Once our chores were done, only then were we allowed to proceed with our plans to hang out with our friends or take part in the Saturday afternoon youth events which were hosted by our community church. But there was still one hurdle to overcome once the expected housework had been completed. Mom or Dad would circle through the house and yard to see if the work output met their standards. The conversation could sound like, "Why are there still some cobwebs in that corner?" Or, "What about those dandelions along the sidewalk?" Sometimes, it was an honest oversight. But there were also times when corners were cut or our best efforts were not on display. A bit sheepishly, and usually with a mumbled grumble, we'd get the job done to Dad or Mom's satisfaction and then be allowed to carry on with our daily plans. There is always a feeling of shame when we feel that we do not live up to a standard or expectation. As Christians, we are called to an even higher standard to live out our lives in private and public. Jesus is our perfect example. Our passage today encourages us to live our life in the right order so that when Christ returns for us, we will be unashamed at his appearing. Let's read from 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, to 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, which is found on page 693 of your Pew Bible. So now, little children, remain in him, so that when he appears, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know this as well. Everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Look at how great a love the Father has given us that we should be called God's children, and we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know him. Dear friends, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. John, now an aging apostle, shows the lifetime of experience he has gained in living a life while following after Jesus. He uses strong and confident words such as boldness, right, hope, and pure. He speaks about the present and offers the comfort and assurance we can have now by remaining in our Heavenly Father's care. He exclaims with wondrous joy that we are the loved children of God, and then emphasizes that fact with yet another exclamation, "And we are." He looks forward to Christ's return with absolute confidence by twice stating, "When he appears." What loving, caring, and inspiring words God put into John's pen on that day thousands of years ago. Words that even today should cause us to want to be on a path where we are to remain in him, knowing that we are the loved children of God, growing in boldness, hope, and godly purity. Verse 28 begins with specific and direct instruction. We read, "So now, little children, remain in him." John gets right to the point of his message. We are to begin now. Not at some more convenient time, not when we have more money or years of church experience, not after we've read more of the Bible or had more of our deep thinking questions answered, just right now. But what does remain in him mean for our Christian journey? Let's go back a little bit in the Bible to John's gospel, where we listen to the words of Jesus as he beautifully introduces and illustrates the image of remaining. As a little aside here, Scripture is inspired by God, but it always brings me a special joy and confidence when the Bible's words and stories are referenced across time and in different situations. The whole of the Bible's message is amplified through these wonderful cross-references that we read. So please do make note of those references and those cross-references as you do your daily Bible study. So let's look at John 15, where Jesus says, "Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me." John had the privilege of hearing Jesus teach these words years earlier as the disciples embarked on their calling to follow after him. What a tremendous validation of John's lifetime of faithful living that he would refer back to that specific teaching from Jesus. John had in fact been actually alongside Jesus in person to see and to believe. Then John remained in him for many decades after Jesus rose victorious from the tomb and ascended into heaven. John had remained in him and continued to produce fruit through his writings that we are able to study and apply in our lives even here now in 2025. We all want to grow and produce fruit in our own lives. We go to school to learn skills. We listen to our parents, family, and friends for their wisdom and advice. And these activities result in fruits from our labors. We receive money for the skilled work that we do. We gather friends together who share in our experiences. But where is Jesus in all of that personal growth? Is he being crowded out of the garden as you put down more and more roots into your career, into your pet projects, and into your own ambitions? We can do nothing or produce any fruit that will last for eternity when we are living outside of our relationship with our Savior. So Jesus provides us with a multitude of kingdom and spiritual growth opportunities when we listen to and respond to the promptings from the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, the work that went on here last week at JSAC on Easter Saturday is a recent example of opportunity being fulfilled. God's love was shone into the Chelsea Green community. People heard about why we gather in this building. Bibles are now in some homes where there may have been none before. And we as believers grew because throughout the planning and on the day of the event, we remained fixed on what Jesus has commissioned us to do. In faith, we ordered hundreds of chocolate eggs, dozens of frozen hamburgers and hot dogs. We prayed together, asking God to provide us a number of people to help us with setting up tables, painting kids' faces, and barbecuing food. Some of us had doubts that the neighborhood families would respond to our invitation. I personally questioned whether God would hold the rain-filled clouds south of Commissioner's Road between 9 and 3 p.m. on Saturday last week. Haley has a wonderful screenshot on her phone of Saturday's midday weather radar image showing the little dot of Jacklin Street and a huge band of clouds literally just off the edge of that dot. That could only have been done by God's providence and his hand. And what does that show for us? Remain in him, as we did collectively as a church through that day, and as we should do after this as well. Because as Jesus said, the one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. See God work his plan. Feel your faith grow and be strengthened, because again, we have witnessed firsthand how he produces fruit. We may not see immediate results from our work last weekend, but we leave those gospel conversations which happen in God's hands, and he will move and prick the hearts and minds of our neighbors. And we will take on other occasions where we can open the doors and relationships of this church into families and homes on the surrounding streets of Jacqueline Street. Certain that we can trust God and be in him as we use our energy and resources for his glory. Jesus worked hard with his disciples to teach and guide them. They had the benefit of regularly traveling, eating, and praying with Jesus. For our benefit, many of these occasions are recorded in the scriptures. Discipleship is another way for us to remain in him. Getting into God's word with another believer will cause you to understand and express truths in words that will enlarge your spiritual heart. Brothers, sisters, the discipling that results from our life group Bible studies bring us closer to him and should bear fruit in our families and in our church gathering. Praying together with each other in our life group puts us humbly before our great God as we place our trust in him for the concerns we pray over. Seek out those opportunities to grow closer to him who has saved you. Put down roots into Christ-focused relationships where lasting fruit is produced, because you and the brother or sister you are discipling learn about and live out what a life is that remains in him. As we are charged to remain in him, we can now live knowing that we are the loved children of God. In verse 1 of chapter 3, John calls out to us with an exclamation. Look at how great a love the Father has given us that we should be called God's children. And we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know him. Friends, the teaching we are reading from today is instruction for people who claim Jesus to be the Lord of their life and are indeed God's children. Right now, you too can become one of God's children. Scripture tells us in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One that believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. Believe and confess, and then you too can begin a new life of remaining in him as a loved child of God. Salvation is a free gift from God with everlasting consequences. Do not think that you can avoid having to give account of yourself before the holy and righteous God. He will return and is the final judge over your life. You are able to live in the joy and security of his love from today and evermore when you believe and confess Jesus as your Lord. Why is John still so excited to remind us that we are the children of God? The beginning of the verse provides the answer. Because how great a love the Father has given us. This great love is impossible for us to understand in our frail humanity. But John's gospel can take us back in time and recount for us words Jesus spoke to Nicodemus one time in the middle of the night. John 3, verse 16, which we heard earlier this morning, completely confirms and allows us to understand the breadth of God's love, the reason for his love, and the importance of believing the truth of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John had seen that great love. He had been through storms with Jesus. He saw Jesus heal people. He was the disciple whom Jesus loved. And then he saw Jesus anguished, tortured, dead. But it didn't end in death, and as we celebrate it on Easter Sunday, and we should give praise for each day, he is risen. And by believing on him, we will have everlasting life. That is what John is celebrating. Because of God's love toward us, we can be redeemed, and then together we are God's children, giving glory to him, expecting his return, saved from God's judgment, delighting in his fatherly care as he holds us in his hands. However, John acknowledges that not everyone in the world recognizes or knows God's children. This is sobering and real for us here and now. The masses of the world go on through their days without thinking about or considering God's love or Jesus' life. But they still have God's breath in their body, a heart, and ears to hear the gospel and to receive salvation, which is why it is so important for us to live while remaining in him and knowing that we are the loved children of God, so that our friends, families, and strangers can see and ask of us, why are we different? Who gives us our joy and our hope? And we are to be ready and at all times able to speak the truth of God's love so that one more and many more are then able to call themselves God's children. The world still needs to know that Jesus is alive. Let them see and experience what it's like to rub shoulders together, to share in a campfire, or go for a coffee with someone who is living as a child of God. And let that child of God be you and I. We conclude our passage with a review of several promises made by John and backed up throughout the scriptures. Promises to motivate us to remain in him, knowing that we are the loved children of God. Promises which will enable us to devote our days to growing in boldness, hope, and godly purity. Let's read again. So now, little children, remain in him, so that when he appears, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know this as well. Everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Look at what great a love the Father has given us that we should be called God's children. And we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know him. Dear friends, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Our first promise is when he appears. John confidently tells us twice that Christ will appear. We do not know when, and that doesn't matter in God's sense of time. Jesus himself has told us that he will return for us. Do not doubt his words. My late Uncle Charles began each day by saying, "Perhaps today." He never lost faith that his Lord would return. Our second promise to hope for is that we will be like him. We will be conformed to the image of Christ, not as deity or God, but as a glorified humanity in his likeness, not equal, but like him. Our tired and world-weary bodies will be forever changed into the image of the one who suffered and gave his life for our sins. Indeed, we are not worthy of such an upgrade, and for that we give God the glory. The third promise, we will see him as he is. No longer will we have to wonder about the one who has saved us. We will be in his presence. We will give him praise and all the honor. What will your thoughts be when you see your eternal Savior? Pray those thoughts and those words often in these days as you get ready for that future date in his presence. These promises are made to give us hope. Hope for today and hope for the future, when we will be in our Christ-like bodies worshiping our Savior. Let's spend a few moments examining our hope in this present time. Verse 3 tells us the outcome of this hope is a lifestyle of pursuing godly purity. We all like things that are pure. We would buy a pure gold ring, or as close to pure as practical, for someone we love. Food is labeled with the word pure. For example, 100% pure Canadian honey, or 100% pure salt. Interestingly, food can also be labeled by what it is free from. For example, 100% peanut free. The absence of something can also give us confidence in making our purchase or consuming some food. Each summer, I enjoy preparing several batches of fresh cooked jams. We pick out the best looking fresh berries or peaches, and we carefully clean and prepare the fruit and place it in a large cooking pot and begin to apply some gentle heat. Soon steam starts to appear, and the fruit is stirred as the heat is increased. Then the fruit begins to boil, and the boiling brings to the surface any of the impurities which may have been missed during the cleaning. A tiny piece of a leaf or a part of the inner stem which may have been hidden deep in the fruit as it was prepared. The top of the boiling pot is skimmed. The unwanted and undesirable elements are removed and discarded away from the jam to be. After the prescribed time and temperature have been reached, the fresh and now purified jam is ladled into jars. And then a brilliant red strawberry or peach jam is ready to be admired, shared, and enjoyed for all of its natural and pure goodness. This simple illustration is a broad but similar representation of our life while pursuing godly purity. We are given the promise of Christ's return and becoming like him. But why should we wait until then to experience the wonders and benefits of Christ's purity? Even now, we should be living diligently in a way that boldly displays a righteous and right life, showing that we have been born of him, as John teaches us in verse 29. Doing the right thing in that moment of temptation. Saying the right words when we could be insulting or unkind. Let's start with some readily accessible examples of applying the heat of Scripture to purify our daily life. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you to familiarize yourself with the Proverbs. The wisdom and truths found in the daily Proverbs never grow old. For example, reading Proverbs 27 today, being the 27th day of April, I may focus on verse 10, which says, "Do not forsake your friend." And next month, The same chapter may cause me to meditate over verse 19, which reads, "As in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects the man." The words from the Proverbs will put a magnifying glass on those small sins of telling half-truths or pride or laziness that we give into so easily. And I say small as in quotes. Skim those off and get rid of them. Keep a journal or make notes in your Bible as you identify and work against these sins in your heart and in your mind. And then further increase the heat of Scripture in your life. This next encouragement toward pursuing purity is all positive and will bless whomever you are sharing the fruit with. Delight in the fruit of the Spirit. What a tremendous and inspiring picture Paul used in Galatians chapter 5. And we read, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Isn't it interesting that there is no law against doing or being all of the characteristics listed in the fruit of the Spirit? No limits here for living a life that is characterized by joy, self-content, or kindness. Imprint that fact on your heart. Know what the fruit looks like and learn how you can demonstrate and live out each one. They are to be a continual check against and an encouragement for our behaviors as we act in all of our circumstances throughout life. Challenge ourselves to grow and bear fruit which shows brightly any and all of these qualities. But do, however, keep the critically important truth which we spoke of earlier in front of you. Fruit will only be produced when we remain in Him. The Holy Spirit will work in and through us to produce this amazing fruit. What a pleasing setting we would live in were we all to pursue the pure fruit of the Spirit in our conversations and decisions. Let us nurture our heart and our mind so our personal actions grow and bring forth the true fruit of the Spirit. God's glory will be displayed for all those around us who see and experience this pure fruit. Brothers and sisters, John has given us tremendous reasons to have hope today, along with assurances and promises of even greater glories when Christ returns. Christian, remain in Him. Know that we are the loved children of God. Grow in boldness, hope, and godly purity. Let's pray. Father God, we give you praise for the words which you gave to John thousands of years ago and which we today are able to hear and apply in our own life. Lord, I pray that we will think of these words often, that we will meditate on them even this afternoon, and that we will look for opportunities to apply them into our life this week. Father God, I pray all of this in your precious and holy name. Amen.